Good morning. Better, there we are. I really like this song. I really would like to thank Kevin that he picked this song, even though I am the one who always do not know any hymns and songs, because I always sing out of tune. But while I was singing this hymn, one thing in my mind: if we are always in this kind of situation, then nothing will bother us anymore. Nothing will make us away from the Lord anymore. Nothing will hinder us to come before the Lord anymore. The last line, it says, in a love which cannot cease, I'm his and he is mine. In verse 2, the first few lines, it says, heavens above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. It reminds me one time while I was really touched by the Lord, and then in that following weeks while I was walking on the street smelling all those exhausts from the bus, smell good. When I look up to the skies, it is always beautiful. Those people who are walking by me and around me, they all look so happy, look so beautiful, look so pleasant. Actually, not all that good. It is me, through my eyes, because the touch of the Lord, everything around me are good. So, the hymn here give us Psalm 6:3, but there is one thing in my mind also, that is in the Songs of Solomon, that is chapter 8 verse 7. This is one of my favorite verses from the Songs of Solomon. It says, many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. So many times, when we talk about love, we always think about male, female, parents, children, friends, that kind of love. But actually in here, in the Songs of Solomon, this verse tells us that is the love, that is an eternal love. Many waters cannot quench love, now nor can the flood drown it. This kind of love is the love until death or beyond death. That is the love for the troubles, our trials cannot overcome. That is the love to give, not to receive. That is the love of to let go, not to grasp on. So when we talk about love, so many times, when we go to a wedding, we feel love, right? Actually, this summer, I had attended two weddings, and then maybe three more to come. One, two, three, yeah, three more to come. Totally five to go. Every wedding, okay, everyone expected, talking about love. Actually, last week, I attended a banquet, and the MC is also the best man. And then one thing he did is he made an interview to the bride and the groom, and then he write up his own story, their love story. That was the best one that I ever heard. Very detailed, very funny, very descriptive. I love it. That is their love story from the beginning to the end. And everyone, especially Leah, said that the groom really looks like me. He is kind of rounded, okay, and no love at all, not sensitive at all, and because in the MC's love story, he pointed one point the bride sent him an email, said that, oh, I will be staying in Langley for 1 week because the groom lives in Cloverdale. So do you recommend me any place to go for that week? And then he said, everyone with a normal sensitivity will say, I live in Cloverdale, you come to Langley, I will show you around, right? But too bad, that guy just returned an email, say 10 things to do in Langley. Well, I think of it, oh, well, if I were him, I might do the same thing, right? So, he is that kind of guy. So many times when we go to wedding, we expect to see tons of love. People talk about love. People act in love. When you ring the glass, okay, you expect something. So many times I find it very amazing. Haven't we not seen enough TV already? Okay, so what's that to do? Means sometimes it is meaningless to me because I am the one who has no love. Okay, but so many times when we go to wedding, we expect to hear love. We expect to see something that is very lovely. That is why in all the wedding, we have the wedding party to do so many hours of rehearsal, planning. Even the bride may start her planning 1 year before, right? Arrange this, arrange that. Make sure to have a perfect wedding. And then when I am preparing for this morning, I come across also to a story. I think that is a real story, but I will read it out to you about wedding. Like I said, in every marriage ceremony, there is always at least one mistake. A young couple, very much in love, were getting married. The bride, the wife-to-be, was very nervous about the big day because this is such an important occasion to her. So the pastor who will officiate the ceremony chose one verse that he felt would be a great encouragement to him, to her. The verse was in 1 John 4:18. Can I have someone read it up for me? How about who's right? How about Gigi? 1 John 4:18. No? Okay, then how about Minerva then? Okay, see. So it is perfectly for her, right? Because she is so so nervous, so anxious about it. She wants a perfect wedding. But without knowing fully the bridal party, the pastor asked the best man to read out the scripture during the ceremony, because he is going to share on that scripture to encourage her. But without knowing it, that best man is not a very attentive guy. He didn't go to church much. Maybe he just go to church on Sunday. He did not read the Bible much. Maybe just during Sunday service or not even. So when the pastor asked him to read 1 John 4:18, he didn't know where is 1 John. But somehow he come up to John. So he read John 4:18. Okay, can I have David read out for us? Just the first half. John 4:18. Come on, read it first. Laugh later. Okay, thank you. I think the bride will be faint right there, right? So many times, no matter how good our planning was, there will be some mistakes. No matter how many days, weeks, years, or hours you practice before the wedding, there will be some boo-boo there. There is no such thing as a perfect wedding. They're always going to have some problems. Some of them small, some of them big. So this morning, we will look at one wedding from the Bible. John, okay, chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. How about Cindy, read for us.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servant, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted of water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed him."
Okay, thank you. This is the first sign or the first miracle that was performed by Jesus on earth. That is a wedding. So, this morning, we talk about wedding. Sometimes when we go to wedding, we expect to have a joy or joyous occasion. We expect the bride and the groom are happy. We expect all the guests are happy, filled with food to the juice filled with wine also. But in this occasion, when Jesus was there, something happened. They might still have food full of gases, but they ran out of wine. Okay, when we go through the scriptures, this place is Cana of Galilee. When we go through the references, somehow the references tells us Cana in Galilee is the better part of Galilee. It is a rich area. So people, usually people live in Cana, you expect that those are rich or well-to-do people. But even in that occasion, they ran out of wine. In the wedding, under those circumstances, no wine means no joy. Oh, no wine? Everything stopped there. Just like when you watch it in TV, everything stopped. From color turned into gray, right? That is that important in their custom. So many times, if we were them, at least me, if I were there, the first thing come into my mind is, hey, well, just run to the liquor store to get more. You have money, right? But what about that is a Sunday, right? So liquor store all closed. So I will, well, since this is a well-to-do area, so you just ask all your friends to borrow some wine. But possibly all your friends run out of wine. You get no way out. So you stuck there. According to the reference, someone say that even if you run out of wine, okay, I don't believe it, but that is what they say. The groom's family may get sued later because run out of wine during wedding. Okay. So wedding in Israel, it is a long ceremony, usually lasts more than a week. During that week, people just getting around the bride and the groom, keep on toasting, keep on eating, keep on drinking, 24/7. So, during those occasions, wine is a very important element. But now, in here, when Jesus just went there, the first thing, he encountered is Mary walked up to him, saying that, we have no wine. While I was reading this one, I was really, really surprised. What has Jesus to do with no wine? He is not a winemaker. He is not the one who has tons of wine store in his house. Not even to mention the place he lived, we do not know. So why go to Jesus? Because one very important thing, Mary know that he is a problem solver. Mary did not go to do anything else. Mary did not ask anything else. Mary has or had her confidence in him. He knows Jesus can solve the problem. So many times, as I said, when we meet with difficulties, when we meet with problems, we will try to use our human nature to solve it. Working longer hours, seeking more advice from friends, find our way out. And our Lord Jesus Christ is always our last resort. So many times when we come to the Lord, we may not ask for anything because we think that we are, I am good enough. I have no need from our Lord. But at other occasions when we are in difficulties, we did not go to Him either because we think that I can solve it. Or we think that, my problem, Jesus will not care. No, that is that wrong. We should go to Him, no matter it is big or small. Now we come back to the problem. What problem is it? No wine. No wine. But if we put this story back into our daily life, what is our problem? Can be many. Can be many. But what is the result of that problem? It takes away our joy before the Lord. So no matter what situation we are in today or now, if we find that when we don't have joy in our daily lives anymore, when we are not feeling easy to come before the Lord anymore, now we know we have a problem. We have to admit that we have a problem. So many times we just do not think we have a problem. So many times we think, I'm okay, I'm all right, I can ride it out. I can do more work. I can sleep more. Maybe for me, I can eat more. The problem will go away. No, we have to admit that we have a problem. This problem may be induced by someone else around us, your family members, your co-workers, or can be induced by ourselves. We may have some sin, unfound sin before God. It takes away our joy before Him. Just like here, no wine, no joy. We have to admit that we have a problem. Once we find that we have a problem, once we find that problem we cannot solve on our own, once we decide that we can go to someone else to help us, now it is time for us to come before the Lord. In verse 3-4, Mary told Jesus, they have no wine. But in verse 4, when I read it, it makes me feel so strange. She said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come, or has not yet come, or has not come yet." It seems like I have my problem. Now I admit it. Now I want someone to help me. Now I know Jesus can help me. But when I come to God, come to our Lord Jesus Christ, it looks like I am hitting a wall. No response. Just like here, Jesus said, that your concern has nothing to do with me. But He gave out His reason. My time has not yet come. It gives us a reason why. Because who is the Lord? It's me or Christ, Jesus. It is Him. So when we come before the Lord, when we come before Jesus, He is the Lord. We admit that we have a problem. We bring our problem to Him. He is the one who is going to help us. But who decides how? Who decides when? It is His jurisdiction, not ours. Our responsibility is to bring our problem to Him. not to demand, but to receive his demand.
We just told him,
I have this. I am facing difficulties. I have something that I cannot solve. I have something that I cannot overcome. I have this sin in me that I cannot deal with. Bring it to him and wait. Because he is the God of mercy. We firmly believe that he will deal with it. So many people told us there is only one thing God will deal with it immediately, no matter what. It is ask for his forgiveness. If we have some difficulties, we have some problems, we come before him, ask for forgiveness, we can 100% sure, we can get that assurance right away. But for anything else, he is the Lord, not me, not us. So he is the one who decides when and where and how. When Mary realized that is a problem, she took the problem to him. That is a good sign that Mary went to Jesus. This family wedding has no wine. Obviously, they did not have a good plan. Maybe they have extra guests that they did not expect. But by Mary's asking for help from Jesus, that is the door opened for his miracle to perform. Jesus is here today. Through the Spirit, he is here today. Do we have any problem? Do we have any difficulties? Do we have any trials among us? Inside any one of us, we can bring it to him by faith. Look at Mary. As I said, Jesus is not a wine maker, not a wine master, obviously not a wine collector. Why go to Jesus? Because she has faith. She has faith that Jesus can help her, can help to solve the problem. The only thing, as I said, it is the timing. That is why in verse 4, Jesus said, your concern has nothing to do with me. My time has not yet come. But in verse 5, it is very earthly. Even though Jesus said that, your concern has nothing to do with me, my time has not yet come. But Mary, really, really being in faith, in her faith about Jesus, she just turned around, she said to the servant, whatever he says to you, do it. Mary did not keep on nagging, right? Just like I saw one mother keep on nagging her son. You do this, you do that. The son says, okay, but never move. The mother can say, you do this, you do that, da, da, da. So it happened in every family, right? So I look at every son and daughters smiling. All mothers are saying, right? So Mary did not do that. Mary kept on coming to him, do this now, they are running out of wine, they need the wine, do it now, think of it, any way to solve it, to solve problem, to help them. No, she just turned around, very, very solemnly, maybe, to tell the sir, to those, whatever he says to you, do it. The next verse is, it turned into 6 water pot. Okay. Do we know what are those water pots for? Usually those water pots are placed outside the house. Okay. While I was much, much younger, I thought, oh, well, at that time, those roads are just dirt roads. Those are not paved yet, so when people walk out on the street, come to your house, the feet and hands, the whole person is so dusty and dirty, so they use it to wash clean and then they go in. But now I know those water pots are for ceremonial purpose, for their purification. It is for a ritual. Those six water pots are living out there with water for whoever enter the house, especially before they eat, they just rinse their hand or they wash. We call it washing. They wash their hands. It is a ritual. But now, this is the usage of those six water pots are for rinsing purpose, for purification purpose. But does it actually purify physically and spiritually? We all know that, no. Those water cannot help them a bit. Those are just outside ceremony, outward appearance. Just like this morning, when we all come to this meeting hall, when we come to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, is it just the act of that six water pots? When we read our Bible at home or wherever, is it just the ritual of that six water pots? When we are in our prayer, even during the breaking of bread, when we pray, is it those six water pots? Only have outside, but has no real meaning? Just to do it, to let people see it? So many times, I have a habit. When people come to ask, Aiden, how are you? I say, oh, fine. Or, same. People expect me. When time passes, people expect me to answer like this. How are you, Aiden? Fine. How are you, Aiden? Same. So they just smile and walk away. They never expect something else. And then I never expect to answer something else. It is just outside, outward. Even though maybe that morning when I see their brothers or sisters, I was really troubled. I would come and say, fine. Same. It's our appearance. I didn't show to them what is inside of me. When we come to our Lord, do we do the same thing? When we read our Bible, is it because we read it out of responsibility? Is it because read out of being trained to do that? So many times, so many things in our daily lives, we did it just for the sake of doing it. So brothers and sisters, I always have a burden, especially so many young brothers and sisters, or so many young people here. Actually, our daily small thing can be very spiritual. If we do it before our Lord, that is spiritual. If we just do it for an outside surface, no matter how spiritual looking it is not spiritual. Excuse me to discharge my duty once again. It is the name tag thing. It is very... Some people may say it is very legalistic, is it? Oh, you walk in here, we demand you to wear a name tag. I have to admit that. I have the same thinking too. Why should I wear this? I don't have to wear it. I have my freedom. You guys are just too legalistic. Right? And where to wear it? Okay. Some young people may hate me because I always say, wear it here. Let people see it. Some people always wear it somewhere else. But I always try my best to tell them to wear it here. While I was doing it, I have the same feeling as them. I am too legalistic. But brothers and sisters, think of it. From my side may be legalistic, but from your side, if you comply, that is spiritual. Do you see what I mean? No matter how nonsense, how unreasonable things added to you, but if we just comply in the name of our Lord, we did it for Him, not for Aiden, not for Uncle YC, not for Uncle Everett. We did it for the Lord. We obey because of the Lord. Then that is spiritual. We may be wrong, but the Lord won't be wrong. Our learning before Him won't be wrong. That is the thing that I really would like our young people learned. It is, we live our life every minute before the Lord, not in our own way. So for the six water pots, I do not know at that time, is it empty or half empty or whatever, but at least it has space in there. Then Jesus tell them in verse 7, just said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. When Jesus tell them, say that, fill the water pots with water. Jesus did not say that, fill it up. Right? Just fill it. So, some of us, exactly me, I would think, oh, fill it. So, what is fill it? Okay, 80%? 60%? 90%? That is fill, right? Chinese are a very polite nation, polite people. So, I was taught while I was a kid, when you pour tea, for the senior, always only 80%, not up to the rim, brim. Why? Because it is impolite. So to me, all the time, fill up means 80%. But in here, the servant filled them up to the brim. So when we look at the result, what was the result? This water turned into wine. So if at that time the servant only filled it up 60%, so it is only 60% of wine. It's 80%, only 80% of wine. It now is 100% up to the brim, almost flowing out. Now we have 100% of the wine. Don't forget in here, wine equivalent to joy. How much joy you want from the Lord, it depends on your obedience before the Lord. It depends on your diligence before the Lord. If we are like myself, always find a way out easy, for sure I will fill it up at most 80%, sometimes maybe 70%, right? Especially now with weaker body, maybe I only fill it up to 40%. Just I'll go to tell Jesus, oh, I am too tired. Is it okay, sir? So, and I only get 40% of joy. I only get 40% of blessing. But look at this servant. These servants are very diligent. Think of it. Those are servants. They keep on working. They keep running around. It is in a banquet. In a wedding, if we be in a wedding, we know how difficult those waiter waitress are. They come running, doing things. So they've been working all day already. So now you tell them to fill up those 6 pots. Each pot carry 20 to 30 gallon. 6 pots is almost 200 gallon. So you know me, right? So, do we want full blessing from the Lord? Diligent. Obedience. Follow inside. What is the prompting from our Lord inside? Did we stop working while there are still prompting? In the summer conference, Brother Wong tell us, let the what? Rule in us. Do you have the peace in us when we stop filling the pot? If we don't, then keep filling. And then he said, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. Jesus did not stand up, go up to the pot, touch the water, let it be wine. Jesus did not examine, is it true the wine? Jesus just, after they fill up the water pot, Jesus just told them, go, fill it up, and take it to the master of the ceremony. We see that is the Lord doing things. Under different circumstances, he did things differently. Because in other signs, in other miracles, he did it differently. Now, when the water, we say water, because we do not know when it turned into wine. When the water come to the feast master, he tastes it, and then right away he went to the groom and saying that every man at the beginning sets out good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. It tells that these water turned wine are better than the original. So that means if we put things in Lord's hand, it is better than what we had before. We lost something, we missed out something, but if we are willing to commit ourselves in the hands of the Lord, we are willing to do things according to His demand, the result will be much better than what we have lost. Brothers and sisters, do we have the patience to wait before our Lord? Do we have the will to commit to our Lord? Or are we just do things our way? Actually, there are not only one miracle in here. So many times when we read it, we will say, okay, water turned into wine, that is the sign, that is the miracle. But actually, in verse 11, that is the second miracle. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Brothers and sisters, this is another miracle. Those disciples believed in him. Do you think that today, you and me, that we can believe in our Lord Jesus Christ is just a normal thing? A natural thing? No. This is a miracle. Think of it, people like us, who are so self-centered, so proud of ourselves, that we can come before the Lord and say that, I am a sinner. I am a sinner saved by grace. And we are willing to totally submit ourselves to our Lord, saying that, Lord, lead my way. Come on, that is impossible. It needs a miracle for us to lower ourselves, to give up our own proudness and come to Him and say that, Lord, I need you. I need you as my personal Savior. I know that I am a sinner. I cannot deal with my own sin, but I need your saving grace from the cross. That is a miracle. Sometimes when we go to wedding, we expect happiness. We expect joy. We expect so many things happen that will bring the bride and the groom continual happiness. That is why Jesus Christ performed his first sign in a wedding. Because a wedding is not the end of a relationship. A wedding is the beginning of a relationship. Not like some people now, they say that marriage is the tomb of a relationship. No. Marriage is the beginning of a relationship. Just like when we accept our Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that is the beginning of a relationship. We do not believe in a religion. We enter into a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the first sign, the first miracle was performed in a wedding. So once again, to sum up again, how do we deal with our relationship with our Lord? Is admit that we have a problem right now. And we are willing to bring this problem to Him. And let our control in His hand, not in our own hand. Commit ourselves to Him 100% and follow His command diligently. I keep on talking about wedding, but I want to point to the most important wedding is in Revelation 19:7. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. I spent the whole session talking about marriage on earth, but there is one most important marriage that is in heaven. That is the wedding of the Lamb. We are the church. We are the call-out group of people. We make up the church. We are the bride, and our Jesus Christ, the Savior, is the groom. One day, corporately, we will be in the wedding. You and me and everybody else who believe in Him will be in this wedding. But there is one prerequisite. In here it says, His wife has made herself ready. Last week during the wedding, there is a very cute little girl, 2 years old, called Kaylin. I really love her, so cute, chubby, so active. She always run around barefooted. Even the ceremony and the banquet, she runs around. But think of it. During the procession, when the door opened, When people say that, let's stand up for the bride, and boom, the door open and she stand there in the gown. Is she ready? No. A 2 years old girl cannot be ready. So, corporately, individually, are we ready? Do we want to hasten the coming of our Lord? So let us be ready. Start today. Be ready for our Lord Jesus. To make the church to become a mature bride for our Lord. May we encourage each one of us this morning with the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are the one who loves us so much, even though we are the one who do not know love, but you love us first. Lord, thank you that this morning you show us your love, you show us your power, you show us your love for us, that you are willing to turn this water into wine. You are willing to turn our trouble into joy. You are willing to help us to get out of our troubles, our difficulties, only if we are willing to come to you. Oh Lord, this morning, may every one of us is willing to commit ourselves to you and let you be the real, real King in our heart. We are willing to give up our control in our lives, truly turn it 100% over to you. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ.